This is eRadio Mornings.
Dit is nou weer tyd vir ons geselsie met Marius de Waal van Procon SA. Ons gesels bykie oor al die dinge en die verwikkelinge wat hierdie week plaasgevind het hier in Suid-Afrika rakende die elektrisiteitskrisis en so meer. Marius, hallo, hoe gaan het met jou daar so?
Dit gaan baie goed, hallo vir jou Ion en ook hallo vir die luisteraar. Dit gaan baie goed, maar as ons kyk na ons kragsituasie in die land en wat aan die gang is daar, dalk nie so goed nie. Paar dingetjies wat gebeur het die week wat dalk 'n invloed kan hê, maar ons moet maar positief bly.
Ja, ek stem saam met jou en natuurlik help die koue weer nie, want hoe kouer dit is, hoe meer stel mama die verwarmer op en Eskom hou nie daarvan nie.
Dis waar, nee, hulle is amper op hulle knieë soos hulle smeek dat jy nie hulle produk moet gebruik nie.
Ja, dit is verskriklik.
Ja, nee, dit is 'n krisis, die oomblik as dit kouer raak, en dit is ook traditioneel, omdat dit in die bokant is die tyd vir minder reën, waar die meeste van ons kragsentrale is, wat hulle ook bystand op bystand wil sit om te kan bietjie maintenance doen. Maar as ou nou kyk wat met Duva nou gebeur het, is dit, Duva is toevallig die kragstasie wat ook in 2019, wat die geweldig op 21 en 22 Mei was daar 'n groot ontploffing geweest. En toe was daar baie, en julle sal dit goed onthou, daar was vreeslik gepraat geweest oor die ontploffing en hulle foto's gewys op social media en hier week het 1 uit 2 nou weer 'n brand gehad. Alhoewel ek sien in die was het so 15 kilo's oos van Emmaslatleni en in die ou taal is dit Witbank, daar in Mpumalanga.
Okay. Ek het nou nie geweet waar dit is. Ja, okay, dankie vir daai.
Ja, so hy sit 15 kilometer oos van Witbank en Eskom sê dat hulle is nog besig om te kyk na die root cause van hierdie vuur en alles, maar ek sien hulle vir die Middelburg Observer wat net so eentjie van Witbank af sit, het Lenny Masaku, hy is die gesprek wat die spokesperson vir Duva het hy gesê, daar was net 'n oil spill, maar as jy kyk na die foto op Duva Power Station en op die sosiale media wat uit is, dan is dit 'n redelike oil spill om soveel rook af te gee wat dit is, en vir my is dit 'n redelike ernstige situasie, want Duva is een van ons, hulle noem hulle six-pack power plants, omdat hy bestaan uit 6 generators, elkeen, en elkeen kan so 600 megawatt kan hy opwek. So, jy weet, 600 klink na so klein getalletjie, maar as jy dit nou kyk, hy het nou 6 van hulle, soos hy totale opwekkingsvermoë 3600 megawatt, en ek dink ou kan dit afbring, en jy kan dit vergelyk tot na 'n windturbine toe. 'N windturbine het 2 megawatt, so, wat dis wat hy kan insit in die kragnetwerk en elke een turbine. Nou as jy kyk by ons hier aan die Weskus en jy kyk na ander plekke, hulle het almal so in die omgewing van 48 na 50 windturbines, dan is die hele windplaas te bydra is maar 100 megawatt, waar een van die eenhede in Duva wat 600 megawatt is, jy kan jou voorstel, dis 'n geweldige klomp krag wat uit die grid uit weggehou word voor regtig nalatigheid, want 'n eenheid wat afgeskakel is en wat in jy sal sien, ek dink nie ons sal eintlik ooit weer hoor wat die regte storie was rondom die vuur nie, maar dit kan net nalatigheid wees. Ek meen hy genereer nie eens krag nie, hy was uitgewees van Januarie maand al vir instandhouding en nou daar vuur uitgebreek. Weet, ek weet nie of hulle dit weer maar onder sabotasie gaan sit, soos wat hulle alles die afgelope tyd wat by Eskom onder sabotasie sit nie, maar die feit bly staan dat ons land is vanaand onder 'n kragkrisis as gevolg van nalatigheid van instandhouding en so en so. Dit is maar 'n krisis.
Ja, ek is bly jy het begin met die ontploffing, want dit was heel eerst op die agenda gewees vir ons gesprek, en dit is my snaaks, jy weet, dat ons al so ver gevorder het in die week, en nog nie beerkrag gehad het, maar ek mis my nou seker ook die te hard praat nie, want mis enige iets kan gebeur, vooral met die weer, en dis verskriklik koud in die Weskaap op die oomblik, so allemaal sit hulle verwarmers aan en 'n paar extra dinge om warm te bly. Maar so nou die ontploffing daar by die Duwa kragstasie, ja, daar was definitief baie rook gewees. Ek dink daai was 'n behoorlike brand, as jy my vra.
Dit was 'n behoorlike brand gewees, ja.
Ek het gesien die foto, ja. Maar hoorie, ek wil nog vir jou vra, Marius, hoekom sal mens nou, as jy nou by Eskom werk, hoekom sal jy nou die kragstasie saboteer? Wat kry jy daar uit?
Ek dink die ouens almal besef dat, as jy kyk in hierdie verkiesingsjaar van die ANC, almal besef in Eskom dat besigheid kan nie aangaan soos normaal nie, want die definisie van insane is omtrent om hierdie maand te doen wat jy laas maand gedoen het en verskillende resultate te verwag. En een van die dinge, as jy kyk uit die geskiedenis uit, ons het so baie 51 gigawatt het ons opgewek in pre-94 met 17,000 werkers in Eskom, toe ons het doeltreffende, die goedkoopste en die beste elektrisiteitsvoorsieningskommissie in die wereld gehad het.
Die goeie daar. Mm.
Ja, nou sukkel ons om by 32 en 33 te kom met 37,000 werknemers. So die enigste ding wat hierdie ouens is, amper, dit klink vir my, as ek kyk na die syndikate en goed wat André de Ruyter bezig is om oop te vlek, in termen, nie net in termen van kracht, maar ook in diefstal en sabotasie en al hierdie type van dinge, dat dit is werkelijk waar op 'n vlak waar die inies amper senior bestuur wil teen die muur vastdruk met 'n geweer en een teen die kop en sê, dit is wat ons kan doen aan julle, weet, is omtrent waarskuwings om nie te vat aan die mense, nie te vat aan hulle voordele nie, nie te vat aan hulle salarisse nie. Ek hoor 'n voeltjie fluit en ek het insta, as jy kyk na dit, ek wil jou 'n voorbeeld gee dat een van die laagst betaalde ouens in Eskom, wat 'n gewone werker is, 'n gewone skoonmaker is, minimum basis salaris op hierdie stadium staan op R17,000. Nou, daar is geen manier wat dit markverwant is nie, daar is geen manier wat dit vraag en aanbod die situasie sal normaliseer nie. Hulle sal moet ingryp van 'n baie hoë, van 'n hoë posisie af en die ouens 'n mandaat gee om die besigheid wat Eskom is soos 'n besigheid te bestuur. En die diefstal en al die dinge wat hok slaan met alle mag en krag en dan natuurlik in die sondekommissie wat die verslae wat uitkom in die finale een word nou oorhandig, was Eskom een van die staatsdiens instellings wat die meeste in die harte geslaan is weer staatskaping. En iewers moet iemand dit optel en die enigste mense wat dit kan optel, wat dit kan verander, is senior bestuur. En die enigste ouens wat, kan ek maar sê, die rekening kan optel, is die verbruikers wat jy is. So aan die einde van die dag gaan ons betaal vir hierdie gemors wat polities van aard is en wat glad niks verband hou met die werklike generasie van krag nie. En dit is my bekommernis. Want jy weet, ek praat met so baie mense. Ek het vanmiddag gepraat met 'n advokaat op 'n baie, baie groot wynplaas wat hy my aangestel het om namens hom te begin onderhandel. En sy woorde aan my was, Marius, ek kan nie, ek is advokaat, ek kan Eskom geonderhandel nie, ek kan nie met hulle onderhandel nie, jy moet vir my iets doen, want ek gaan my wynplaas, gaan ek met mense aflê, op gevolg van hierdie hoë kostes.
Ja.
En sien jy dat, jy weet, ons dink dis Eskom se probleme, die probleme loop ver en baie dieper, as wat het Eskom, het raak Jan en alle man, het raak my en jou sak. Dit is ook in die nuus nou, dat hulle daar nou, ek dink daar was 18 in totaal projekte, daar is nou 3 projekte wat goedgekeur is, sonplaas projekte wat goedgekeur is vir die Noordkaap, wat elkeen so 50 megawatt in die grid sal insit elke dag, so 50 megawatt, dis 150 megawatt. Met ander woorde, die 3 projekte. Nou is daar nog 5 na 12 toe wat nie geteken is nie. Nou, wil jy vir my sê dat 'n handtekening hou Suid-Afrika 'n revolver teen die kop met 'n handtekening? Ek meen, Cyril het beloof dat alles die goed gaan geteken word, dit gaan gedoen word. 150 megawatt is een redelijke hoeveelheid kracht, maar in vergelijking met wat in die krachtstasie aan die gang is, is dit een druppel in die emmer. En die ouwens is self, hulle self toe om dit te doen, en dit is wat ek nie kan verstaan nie. Dit is amper asof hulle nie wil ons uit hierdie gemors uittrek nie, of hulle nie wil die land uit die gemors uittrek nie.
Ja, natuurlijk. Het is amper asof hulle die oplossing van ons wil weghou. Die vraag is, hoekom? Het moet politisch wees.
Ja, die enigste ding wat ek kan denk is dat dit is een van die min organisaties wat so baie geleentheid en so baie geld het en so baie gerechtig gehad het om die situasie op te los wat jy weet, na 94 en onafhankelijkheid het hierdie ouwens het hulle oorgevat en hulle het een perfecte werkende stelsel oorgevat en een geleentheid gesien om dit in die aarde in te drijf en net om een klomp geld hier te verduister en een klomp projekte en al die type van dinge en om net eenvoudig op te hou en standhouding doen en ook nieuwe krachtstasies aan te bou. En toe hulle nieuwe krachtstasies begin aanbou, toe maak hulle die verkeerde keuses en hulle het die verkeerde partners wat hulle in het en al die dinge en dit kost my en jou en ons sit nou op een stadium waar die 10% het nou ingeskop en wat wacht vir ons? Hulle loop nog steeds teen het verlies, so hulle kan dit net van ons verhaal.
You know, Marius, also checking out the news this week, very interesting to see that there's also some power problems in the United States of America, a generation shortages apparently, it's their summer now, and then also this week in Australia, there's quite a cold snap in Australia at the moment, and they're saying they also don't have enough electricity, so both those countries are also kind of dealing with, I won't say load shedding, but generation shortages, which is, I found that quite interesting.
It is actually quite interesting, especially if you look at the Australian one. The Australian one has a little bit of politics involved in it, but not much. It's actually just the thing of it. If you look at America and the problems that they have in terms of distribution, it's so huge. If you look at America and the cost of solar in America versus South Africa, it's pretty much on par. But you must remember in America and even in Australia, you can choose if you want to drop, if car power schedule is providing power to your house tonight, and some way or other didn't they gave you any satisfying when you had the problem or something and they didn't solve it for you, you can tonight cancel that deal and go to the next guy, which you cannot do in South Africa because Eskom have a monopoly in South Africa. So luckily, there's no monopoly in Australia and nor in America. So what is a problem for them, an interim problem, is a permanent problem for us. So I think they will solve it very, very quickly. If I understand it, they will already almost solve it. And so it's not a thing for the long term for them. It's a medium term problem for them, which everybody is throwing the right amount of money and everything to it, and they're solving the problem. And there's a willingness to solve the problem. Where I found in South Africa, it's not always the situation. In South Africa, you get the feeling that the guy's actually enjoying when we're sitting in darkness.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. There's a willingness, you know, to fix it and not just to leave everybody in the dark, literally. That's very troubling. But anyway, Marius, you know, with it being winter and everything, we're watching our electricity usage and we're being careful and we're thinking of Eskom. We're kind of trying to help them. Economical ways to keep warm. Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah. In the old time when it was like that, the guys would open the stove and put all the plates on and everything and warm it up a little bit. Nowadays, it's actually, you'll see that anything that heats up is very, very expensive. From your geyser to a normal heater. But there are clever tricks in terms of it. For instance, if you want a heater somewhere in your house, if it's too hot, put on a warm blanket and on your bed, switch it on high for a few minutes and switch it off when you get into bed. I want to give you an example of a normal, I'm calling it a bar heater, with the two red bars in front and standing there. So they use about two 6,000 watts per hour. And there's also no convection because it's too small and it's too intense. You need to sit right in front of the heater to get the benefit of the heat. As a panel heater, if you mount it against the wall, they mount about 30 to 40 millimeters from the wall, and there's a good reason for that. Not only that it's out of the way and it doesn't over, there's another good reason. It actually creates a convection, an updraft against the wall, and it heats your whole room. Although not to a stage where a bar heater will actually burn you, and your risk of fire is much, much lower, and it's much cheaper. So for every panel heater that you put in your house, that's more effective than a two-bar heater. The ratio is 5 panel heaters for 1 two-bar heater. So if you use the same electricity. So just be wise with this kind of stuff. Look for something with a wattage of 400 watt and lower, not higher than that. And if you want a heater that's a little bit higher, get one in with a fan, because the fan distributes and heats the room up very, very, very quickly. Close the door. If you have a panel heater in your living room or in your sleeping room or something, close the door so that the heat can't escape. Heat is on top, always on top, and that's one of the bad things. So if you have a normal panel heater and you want to heat up the whole area very quickly, put a fan on it so it can distribute the heat. And say, will it cool it down? No, it won't cool it down. It will just distribute the heat. It will distribute the heat through the entire building or entire whatever you want to heat up. But stay away from bar heaters. They anyway a huge fire risk, because the moment that you kick them over anything, it will burn. Whereas a panel heater, or the, as we know it, the encapsulated heater, the old asbestos heaters, it's nowadays not anymore asbestos, but it's still encapsulated heaters. You can even sit against it and your clothes won't caught fire or anything won't caught fire. So first of all, safety, and second of all, be clever with the electricity.
Yeah, those are nice, those panel heaters. But I've also seen with those bar heaters that some of them, they advertise that they have a safety switch that if they should tip over, then they switch off. But I don't know if that always happens.
Yeah, they do. But you must also remember that the 2,000 watt is a 1,000 watt is more or less 5 amps. So if you look at the 2,000 watt, it's more or less 10 amps. What we also found, and it happened in our vicinity, and there was an incident, is that it's a normal switch. The moment that you pick up the heater, it will switch off. Mm. But the failure of that switch is a huge problem.
Yeah.
Because it's opening and it's closing on the load. And the moment that the switch is opening and closing on the load, it can only take so much opening and closing before it will eventually either be in an open position, but the majority of the time it will fail when it actually burns the contact together. And the moment that if you don't test it every time, and if you test it every time, it's going to happen sooner, and if you don't test it, it can just happen. So there's a safety device that can fail, and it can have terrible, terrible consequences.
Yeah, I mean, your cat can jump against it, and can you imagine,
Of course, there's many stories of pets that pouring fire against bar heaters. Horrific stories about it, yes.
Oh, my word, yeah, and I can imagine. You mentioned fan heaters as well, Marius. Those fan heaters are nice. People say, you know, they take a lot of electricity, but they're nice if you want to heat a room up just quickly, close everything
quickly.
And quickly just put it on. For how long would you say, depending on your room size, just quickly?
I would say at 10 to 15 minutes would heat up a normal size. And if you're in your bathroom, I mean, this is one of the places that's the coldest, get an infrared light on top. It's the same light that they use in chicken coops and for chickens and so on. So it's the same light, the same principle. What's nice about it, the moment that you switch it on, it heats up immediately. So your infrared heaters heat up immediately. It doesn't get to a stage where it needs 3 or 4 or 5 minutes to heat up. It's warm immediately, and when you switch it off, you're out, it's gone. So it's almost like a kettle, a 2,000 watt kettle that you're putting it on. Yes, it's drawing a lot of amps, but it's only doing so for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a shorter time. So
that's
you will only use a, yeah, if you use a 2,000 watt kettle for 1 hour, it will use 2,000 watts. But if you use it for 4 minutes, it's a few watts. It's 50 to 60 watts that it actually consumes in terms of units that you pay for. So when you want to buy something to heat something up or to get something a little bit warmer, so be conscious about it. Look for it if it's an A, B or C grading in terms of effectiveness, and really only put it on when you need it. But there is some, and I acknowledge that there is sometimes that you really need it, that it's bitterly cold, like you guys are experiencing now from tonight, the cold that we pass on from the Cape, so it's coming to your place now. So
yeah.
So then there is certain times that you really need to have a little bit of heat. And if you can do it, there's nothing more romantic than a little fireplace and a log or two burning in it, and yeah. So there's many ways to kill a cat.
Yes. Well, somebody also mentioned to me this week that our homes, you know, people coming from overseas saying that our homes here in South Africa, they're so poorly insulated. I never realized that, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true. It's the same when you take your normal, if you go on holiday to Canada, the moment that you get there in winter, and then you see you come completely wrongly dressed. You don't even have clothes that can operate in Canada in the winter.
Yep.
So you need to, it's horses for courses. And one of the things, if you look at England and us and all the places where it's actually getting bitter cold, you'll see also the size of the houses. That's also a problem. So with your insulation and also the size that you need to heat up, we always say, yes, but they're staying in small little houses. And one of the reasons is that it's a significant bill in the month to keep those houses warm in winter. And with our big houses and poor insulation on top of it, it's a bigger problem. So, and with the fact that from 2007 until now, we had about 785% increase on our electricity. So with that compounded, pre that, it wasn't a problem. It wasn't a problem to put the heater on all day, and you had a bill of 50 to 250 rand in a month. If you do it today, you're going to be bankrupt. It's going to bankrupt you. So you just simply cannot afford what's happening now. Compounded with that, and I see that the ANC and everybody is talking against it. If you look like an example, like the Sol Plaatje municipality, which is Kimberley, is selling electricity, which they procure from Eskom at a rate of 150% profit on it to the end user. So it's again the poor guy that needs to pick up the tab for this. And it's all these sorts of things that's happening in South Africa in terms of power that is, and I can see there's a resistance that's starting to build up between the people in terms of power. You can see it.
Yeah.
There's guys that can afford solar, that install solar, and even with the opportunity to feed back into the grid, say, no, I want nothing to do with the government.
Mm.
I don't want anything to do with it. My access electricity can stay where it is. I don't even mind not getting money for it. But I'm not going to feed it into Eskom for misuse. I'm not going to feed it into Eskom for selling it at a huge profit to a next guy, and then they don't bring their side up to it. So I can see that there is a certain amount or a certain level of resistance that's starting to build up in South Africa because of our energy.
Marius, a while ago I also read about a neighborhood in Johannesburg. For the life of me, I can't remember the name now, but these guys are also fed up of load shedding, and they're actually in the process of making or looking at ways of producing their own power for the neighborhood. I don't know how many streets that would be, but they almost want to power up everything in that street all on their own, independently. I think that's pretty cool, but I would imagine that there's a lot of red tape also involved.
They, obviously, it's the same like you said now, even on from the highest level, from our president that promised us that these deals will be signed. Out of the 8 deals that's lying on the table, only 3 has been signed, and of that 3 is only 150 megawatts. Now, you can take that into consideration with a Duva 600 megawatt unit that's down. So it's so little, it's almost that you get the feeling too little, too late. And there's so much red tape to just register in Cape Town. We're currently waiting for Eskom between 2 and 3 months to give you the go-ahead for a normal solar, a small solar project, the go-ahead. And with the council, it's about 3 to 4 weeks before you get a response in terms of if you are allowed to do it. So yes, there's what, first of all, we all over in South Africa, not only in the energy department, but all over, there is just so much red tape to get anything done. So there's a lot of people that talking about what you're saying now, where they're actually considering taking a whole block or a whole neighborhood, taking them off grid. In other words, that we're installing a solar farm on our roof jointly. We create our own grid and we keep it up. Eskom and the municipality actually have they can do nothing in terms of it, because nothing in South Africa, according to the law, prohibits you to go off grid. But it's expensive to go off grid, but at least you can be sure that what you're paying for and the money that you're putting in is you get your return for that. So you're looking at a 4 to 6 year payback model in terms of that, but it's very doable. And I'm seeing it more and more coming to the front. The guys are not only saying it in terms of energy, but also in terms, if you look at the new House Act that they want to push through. You say, but we as a small town or as a small holding just outside Swedenborg, we want to get our own doctor just for us. We'll pay salary. Yeah. And this is the sort of thing that's happening all over South Africa, where the guys are, you must pick up where the government drops the ball, you must pick it up. And what can you do? This is the only thing that you can do. It's not out of spitefulness, but it's out of mere peer pressure that you need this resource, and the government that got the monopoly in terms of Eskom don't provide this resource. So, yeah, the guys are making plans. And I hope they do it, because it must be a thing that's open, that's up and open, and let's go green, not only for South Africa for the power, but it's also for our carbon footprint. Our carbon footprint. Do the right thing and go solar. So I applaud these guys that are doing projects like this. I really applaud them, and I wish them well, and I hope they succeed, all of them.
Great. Yeah, I hope the same. Marius, lastly, for homeowners and business owners who want to get off the grid and get independent and self-sustainable solutions, you, of course, can help at Procon SA. How can they get in touch with you?
They can go to info at Procon, www.procon.com, and the website will guide them through it. They can phone me directly. They can phone any one of our directors directly. And I say again, we are there, and we for free up to the design stage. So we will help you. Even if you don't make use of us, we will know we put you on the right path, and that's enough for us. So if I can help you at any time, even if it's just advice, you can also contact me at any time. My cell phone number is 082-692-0246. It's easy as that, but my only thing that I want to tell the guys is, and that's going to talk in Afrikaans, a race van 1000 mile begin met die eerste tree.
Ja.
Gee om nie. Begin om. Van die oproep en begin om. Dit is dalk op hierdie stadium buitenkant jou vermoe financieel. Maar glo my, vir die kleinste dingetjie is daar is 'n oplossing. Begin klein, begin nie. Moet net nie begin nie.
Dis waar, ja, dis so waar. En dan natuurlik sal Procon elke tree saamstap met die mense, so hulle hoef nie bekommerd te wees oor dit nie.
Ja. Het,
baie mense is ons bang vir die onbekende. Wel, ek dink is in ons natuur om bang te wees vir die onbekende.
dis waar, en ek dink almal van ons het hierdie onderliggende vrees in terme van, selfs net 'n week dat die krag af is, of as daar 'n blackout moet kom, of iewers, jy het hierdie vrees, want elke ou van ons het 'n yskas en 'n deep freeze waar jy goed stoor, en dit is net nie moontlik om 'n week te oorleef sonder niks nie, nou hard op die ouens en hulle gaan koop, dan moet jy 'n generator kry, of jy moet iemand kry om jou vleis en jou goed te gaan insit, en dit is 'n geweldige ontwrigting in terme van jou normale dag tot dag lewe, en dit net nie die moeite werd, en die oomblik as jy op solar is, dan gee dit vir jou so amper a sense of security, jy weet jou eie security, jy sê, alles het net 'n paar essentials, alles het net my deep freeze, my wifi, my televisie, my dit wat kan, my ligte wat kan aanwees. Ek kan ten minste oorleef met dit as ek moet vir 'n maand of 2 maande self.
Ja.
Kan ek dit oorleef. So, nee, ek wil jou aanmoedig, doen en begin met dit, geen stelsel is te klein of te groot nie, en selfs 2 ouens met identiese huise wat langs mekaar bly, julle oplossings kan drasties verskil van mekaar. Weet, want elke mens het sy unieke behoeftes.
Ja.
En ons help jou om dit te identificeer, en ons help jou in 'n plan om te begin werk met dit, en maak nie saak hoe klein of hoe groot en hoeveel jy wil insit in die begin, en hoeveel is jou budget nie, daar gaan vir jou iets wees wat jy kan doen. Selfs al praat ons dit, selfs al doen ons net, al gee jou net 'n paar wenke met jou warm water en al hierdie type van dinge, net 'n paar wenke, ons kan jou help om 'n beter situasie te kry in terme van jou kragverbruik en jou kragrekening.
Ja, ek stem saam jou Marius, is net lekker om my gemoedsrust te hê, jy weet, en nie heeltyd met 'n swaard oor jou kop te lewe nie, so ja, dit help baie, maar baie dankie, dit is dan nou dit vir hierdie week's solar geselsie, en dan maak ons weer so volgende week selfde tyd, selfde plek.
Ons maak so, een mooie dag vir al die luisteraars ook, en dankie dat julle luister, en ek hoop selfs al is al net een mens wat ons kan help, baie dankbaar daarvoor, Ewan, en goed gaan met jou radio, en julle radiostasie ook.
Dankie Marius, goed gaan met jou ook.
This is E-Radio Mornings.